Our reading this night then is from the Old Testament and in the book of Genesis and chapter 24. Genesis and chapter 24. It is a long chapter and there's much material in it which is repeated, and so therefore I'm going to read just but two portions of it. First of all, verses 1 through to 28, and then verses 61 to 67. So let's read then, first of all, Genesis chapter 24 at verse 1. And Abram was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abram in all things. And Abram said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thine hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abram said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this mine oath. Only bring not my son hither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for my servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, that is, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hand of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And then if you move forward to verse 61, we'll read these last few verses. The arrangements for the taking of Rebekah back to Isaac involve the rest between these readings. And we've come to verse 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, the high road, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventime. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us understanding in that reading of the narrative from his own holy word. We continue singing, this time coming to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and we're singing at verse 11. The last four verses of this psalm. O Lord, instruct me in thy way, to me a leader be. In a plain path, because of those that hatred bear to me. Give me not to mine enemy's will, for witnesses that lie against me risen are, and such as breathe out cruelty. I fainted had, unless that I believed had to see the Lord's own goodness in the land of them that living be. Wait on the Lord, and be thou strong, and he shall strength afford unto thine heart. Yea, do thou wait, I say, upon the Lord. Psalm 27:11 to the end, O Lord, instruct me in thy way. We come back to the meditation we've got in the life of Abraham, and focusing tonight upon chapter 24 of Genesis. And the theme of this episode in his life can best be fixed upon verse 27. And the servant said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. The providence of the Lord. This is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, and it deals with a very ordinary subject and theme. We saw chapter 23 dealing with something equally plain and ordinary. It was dealing with the death of Sarah. Now in chapter 24, we've got the problem of a wife for Isaac. And we have 67 verses covering it. In the very first chapter, there's only 31 verses covering creation. So therefore we can see something of the significance and the importance of both the death of Sarah last week and the wife for Isaac this week. The focus has moved just for a moment upon Isaac, because he is the next link in the chain of promise that was given to Abraham. And there has to be that wife if that chain is to continue, and there is to be seed following. And so therefore it is crucial and important that he finds a wife, a suitable wife for that purpose. But we take up what we had last week as we close, because last time we saw the way in which, yes, Abraham was a landed man. He wanted to buy and possess the cave and the field in which was located the burial of his wife Sarah. And we tied it all back into the chapter 12, the promise that was made there of a great nation and of an extensive blessing. The focus from chapter 12 onwards, we lingered upon the coming of Isaac. And we saw ultimately the way in which the Lord indeed fulfilled his promise in his own way and at his own time, overcoming whatever problems there might have been along the way. Problems that can be big for us, but they are never big for the Lord. And we saw also the way in which the Lord attends to the most minute of details in the promises that he's given. There were the promises concerning the blessing on the nation, the way in which Abram was going to be a father of a great people. But there was also a promise reference there to the land that was to be given to them. And that promise concerning the land was not lost sight of in all of the bigger events concerning the birth of Isaac. And so we had that glimpse at the very end of last week, at the end of chapter 23, of the little plot of ground that Abraham was given, the cave and the field where he buried his wife. Only a little plot, but it was already the indication and the start of the fulfillment of the promise about the land. The Lord was going to do what the Lord had said he would do. Abraham had seen the promise being fulfilled concerning Isaac, a promise that had been up and down. They tried their best themselves to bring it to pass, and they all had to give up, and they waited on the way, and they waited on the way of the Lord. But it was fulfilled, and they have Isaac. And their experience and the promise being fulfilled with Isaac only strengthens them and encourages them to trust more and more so in all of the promises the Lord God has given and made. Not just simply the big things, but the small things as well. And so therefore, that experience of Isaac had an effect upon the thinking and especially the faith of Abraham. It shaped and it toned his life, was changed with every step and every experience of God's grace and power. And that strength that he had enabled him to face challenges in a different way, with a confidence that rested on God alone. And it's that confidence that we come to now in this chapter 24. Four simple thoughts I want to take out of it, long as the chapter is. But I want us to think, first of all, about the activity of Abraham. To move on to the prayer of the servant. To think of the providence of the Lord. And finally, to think of the comfort for Isaac. taken us through these 67 verses. But we start first of all with the activity of Abraham. He was more and more aware of what the word of promise from the Lord meant. He knew with his experience of Isaac that the Lord God was utterly reliable. What he said would be fulfilled, even in the most surprising of ways. So here is Abraham in his old age, 140 years. He's got another 35 years left. Isaac is coming up to his 40th year. Abraham had blessings, we're told. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. There was no pressure to distract him. There was nothing that wore down his mind and preoccupied his mind. He had peace, no distraction. He was able to see how central Isaac was to the ongoing fulfillment of the promise God had given him. But for that to happen, he had to have a wife and so have children. But it wasn't to be just any wife. The instruction that we hear him giving is that it's not to be from the Canaanites. Nor is he to take Isaac back to the land, the homeland from which he's come. Abraham therefore saw the barriers. How was he going to respond to them? In the past, when these problems arose with himself and Dara concerning the birth of Isaac, he had his own plans and he had his own schemes and he thought that he could intervene. But we've seen time after time that that was to no avail. He learned. So what do we see him doing here? What's the activity that he gives us that we need to follow? If you come to verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. And then these words, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from hence. What activity do we see here? We see here Abraham praying. He learned the priority of prayer the hard way and over a long time in other years before this. But here we have him bringing the whole situation before the Lord. We're told in 1 Peter we are to cast our cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And surely we see that care especially manifested towards Abraham, in the way in which the Lord intervened time and time and time again to deliver him, protect him, provide for him. So yes, the Lord cares for Abraham, and therefore Abraham could therefore cast his cares upon him. And the way in which we're told of the response that Abraham had from the Lord, we can see the way in which no doubt he spoke with the Lord, and he spoke with the Lord in detail of his concern. How is the line going to be continued through Isaac? That was the great theme of his old age. That was a concern that he had, and it filled his prayers. He needed to find a wife. How is it going to happen? What's he going to do? He prayed about it. We can say this about his prayer if we read the answer that he was given correctly. He prayed not in general terms, but he prayed specifically about the issue that was before him and the problem that he faced and confronted. He came to the point in the way in which he spoke in prayer to the Lord. And surely we know that for ourselves, that when we have cares that are heavy, when we're burdened with this or that about our life, our family, something in the community and the church round about us, when we have a care of that magnitude upon us that Abraham had for Isaac finding a wife, we can go to the Lord and pour out what bothers us to the Lord. But when we do so, it comes out in specific names and places and faces. It's too important for us to use several different words when one word will do. We get to the point. We make the issue. We bring it to the Lord. And we wait for his answer to come down to us. He prayed. He prayed specifically. He prayed in detail. He prayed for the thing that was troubling him and bothering him. But what else did he do? Not only did he pray, but he then instructed a servant. This servant that is talked about and brought before us, we're not told his name. But this servant was given very clear instructions by Abraham. He was given a very difficult task to perform. And the servant was aware of some of the troubles and problems that that task meant. And therefore, he came back with what we would call, what if? What if? The problems that he could see about the instructions that he was given. What if she doesn't come? What if? Always anticipating problems. And what does Abraham do? What does he do with this man and these problems? He shares with him the answer to the prayers that he had offered. He shared the things the Lord had said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." You are going to be given a guide, and you are going to have a blessing and a success. We have, in military terms, sometimes we have the guard detail riding at point. Riding at point is right out in front, the advance party. So what we have here is the angel of the Lord, the angel sent by the Lord rather, riding at point, out in front, preparing the way. We don't know what the servant was delivered from. We don't know what he was spared. We don't know what Abram was spared. We don't know what ourselves have been spared. Yes, we can see something of the Lord's providence coming into our own lives. We can see it, recognize it day after day. But we see just simply the finished final product. But what else was involved in bringing it all about? What else was happening to make the way as smooth or the answer as plain as we've seen it and received it? He shall send his angel before thee. That's what happened to the servant. The Lord often deals with his people like that still today. That's the scale of God's involvement. That's the scale of God's commitment to his people. There's no faltering. There's no weakening of that commitment to both his promises and to his people. As the years unfold, as the problems multiply, become more complex, as they become more convoluted and we cannot see a way out of them, as we find time after time the Lord's involvement to solve these problems, there is no depleting either of his resource or of his involvement. There's no faltering from that commitment that he's given and made. He constantly looks over and keeps safe his people. And so often we don't know just what that means. We don't know what we've been spared from or delivered from. But here we're given some indication, at least for this servant, because he is told quite clearly that the angel before him, riding point. So that's the first thing that we have here, the activity of Abraham. But the second thing I want to mention here is the prayer of the servant. The servant immediately sets out with 10 camels. He takes a plentiful supply to keep him on the journey, but no doubt he's taken something also to be a dowry for the woman that he's going to take back for the wife of Isaac. We're not given any details of how long the journey was. We skip all these details because we get to the purpose of the journey. He came to the city of Nahor. And before he did anything else, he prays. He wraps the whole of his journey and the events, the purpose about it, he wraps it all around in prayer. And he makes the camels kneel and he says, O Lord God of my master Abram, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. He has two themes in his prayer. He first of all asks that the Lord would show kindness to my master Abraham. That Abraham would know something more of the faithful love of the Lord. That loving kindness of the Lord which does not change despite the variety of circumstances we're all in. The Lord called Abraham, led him, dealt with him, fulfilled his promises to him. And every step and every experience that Abraham went through demonstrated, expanded and strengthened that faith of Abraham and brought home to him the depth of that love of the Lord to him. And what we've got here is this prayer of the servant asking for more of the same. More of that kindness to be shown to Abraham. Despite how big or difficult challenging his circumstances were, despite all that he's got to face, may what he now gets be further evidence of what he's had in the past, that love of the Lord to him. We can pray this same prayer for ourselves and for others. We are told in the book of Hebrews that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we have tasted of his goodness, of his wisdom and of his grace, if we've tasted of his blessings and of his presence with us, so the expectation remains with us. And the expectation runs in lofty and in noble channels, that what we've had from the hand of the Lord in the past, the Lord in his grace would bestow upon us still yet today. This prayer that the servant had for the master Abraham, that the Lord would show kindness to my master Abraham. The first aspect of the prayer that he had for his master. But then he went on and he set the bar high. That's the best way I can describe it. He set the bar high for the Lord. It wasn't an easy thing he was asking. It was in fact a big ask, as we would say today. He said, and he set it out, if this woman comes and if this woman does that and then offers this, then let her be the one that I'm looking for. He had hardly said his amen to his prayer when the answer came. The women were gathering and one came. He asked if he could drink. She offered a drink and then she volunteered to give drink to the camels. And let's pause there to realize just what that meant. This man came with 10 thirsty camels. A camel coming out of the desert like this one's came can drink up to 20 gallons of water each. Here she was, and she was carrying 3-gallon jugs. And here she was taking that water and giving it to the camel. It was heavy and it was long work from the well. And we're told there, particularly in verse 21, what the servant did. And the man was wondering. Wondering at her, he held his peace, whether this was the one the Lord meant for him or no. It was time for him to take stock. He wasn't looking for anything spectacular or dramatic as an answer to his prayer. The Lord often guides in the ordinary ways. A human reaction to reveal character. A plain but a surprising path and turn in life. The way this woman behaved and carried herself makes the servant stop and think, as the Lord makes us stop and think also when he answers and comes to answer our prayers. The high bar that he had set for the Lord and the way in which Rebecca cleared that bar. And so we find something this man does that gives an encouragement to do ourselves. He closed the prayer circle. He had asked the help of the Lord. He had set it out before the Lord. And now the success had come. What's the first thing that he does? He's not captivated by the, distracted by what's going on round about him. He's not suddenly away with enthusiasm to see what next might happen. We're told he bows his head and worships his Lord. He returns thanks for the way the Lord had answered his prayer. The prayer of the servant, yes, for the faithful love of the Lord to be again made known to Abraham. Yes, the high bar that he had set in prayer and the way in which the Lord answered it so quickly, ably, with the coming of Rebecca. And the way in which that prayer circle was closed when he thanked the Lord for what he had given to him. So we come on to what we might say would be the substance of this chapter. Not only the activity of Abraham, not only the prayer of the servant. We come into the providence of the Lord. This servant was given very specific instructions. He hadn't a clue about the homeland of Nahor. He hadn't a clue about the homeland of Abraham. He didn't know any family connections. He didn't know any lay of the land, the geography, or anything. How, therefore, was it all going to happen? He simply asks for this sign, which he spells out in verse 14. about the woman that comes with the pitcher of water. And he does it with a conviction. He's asking for this in the providence of the Lord with the conviction that the small things, as well as the big things, are in the hands of the Lord. The small things, as well as the big things, are underneath the providential care of our God. So it was, this young woman came. She did exactly as the servant had prayed for. But the question is, was she the right one or not? It's all very well to have that first answer, but was she the right one? And so they stand and they talk, and eventually they discuss their roots and their connections. And she tells him exactly who she is. And she fits exactly into the instructions that Abraham has given. There we have it. The providence of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the very same thing we said, there's a lot of repetition in this chapter, but then this servant goes and explains what he's been through, the experiences he's had. He goes home to the parents of this young girl, this Rebecca, and recites everything that he's been through. And the conclusion that they come to is exactly the same. We have it in verse 30. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, this thing proceeds from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee good or bad. We've said it before earlier on, we only see the finished article. It's humbling and it's encouraging to see that finished article, but how much was going on behind the scenes? How much was there for us to dwell upon? We don't know, it's hidden from us, what the angel achieved and accomplished. But we do know how we can do that nevertheless. If you go forward in Genesis to Genesis chapter 50 and at verse 20, there you have Joseph being reunited with his brethren. And we have a very similar experience set out there, because in chapter 50 he says this, but as for you, you thought evil against me. He's there condemning the behavior of his brethren. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. What is that but a reference to the providence of the Lord? Joseph was conscious of this providence in his life in so many ways. And we can dismantle his life legitimately underneath the teaching of Scripture to see so many decisive points in his life leading to this very confession. Why were the Ishmaelites passing at the very time when his brethren were thinking of disposing of him? Why did Potiphar want to buy a slave that day in the marketplace? Why was he accused so unjustly, going to prison, only to meet the butler and the baker in prison? You can see there the ups and the downs of his life, these crucial moments where the Lord intervened and in his providence guided and led this man, Joseph. We are told in chapter 39, especially when he was in Potiphar's house, God was with him. 39 verse 2. When he was in prison, same testimony, 39:21, the Lord prospered him. He was promoted to be second in command in Egypt to save people. The same can be said about Esther. Esther was placed within the royal court for a very special purpose, to intervene on behalf of his people when there was a threat raised against them. We can dismantle the lives of the saints. And when we start to do that, we realize it's not limited to the servant, to Joseph, to Esther. We can do that to our own lives also. We can pick up the same touches of God's providence along the path of our life. Dale Ralph Davis, commentating on the life of Abraham, gives a beautiful example of this very thing. In 1838, the Church of Scotland sent a delegation to explore the evangelism of the Jews in the Middle East. One of the delegations sent out was a Dr. Keith, and they were crossing the Sinai Desert on a camel, and Dr. Keith was a little bit sleepy, and he fell off the camel at that point, and he was seriously injured, and he had to return and go home to Scotland. They took a detour when they returned home, and they went through the city of Pesh. It's Budapest in Hungary. And they had in that city a delay because both of them caught Danube fever. They were laid aside, and the Archduchess heard about them, helped them, and asked them to return. When they recovered back in Scotland, they did return. And in 1841, Dr. John Duncan, Rabbi Duncan, was sent out to the city of Pesh again. He had a work amongst the Jews. And there was converted at that time under his ministry there, a Jew who's done a lot of writing and commentating, Adolf Safir. He was converted. And if you were to ask him, how did you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Can you imagine him starting it just like this? One day, a Scotsman fell off a camel. The providence of the Lord in achieving and accomplishing a spiritual end and purpose. With a mission to the Jews in Hungary. Here with a wife for Isaac. The ways of the Lord are so delightful. Fascinating. The Lord is silently present at all times with his people. He's working through people with timing. Looking at and using reactions, plans and circumstances. He is molding all of these complex circumstances in the lives of his people, you and me, in ways that so often leave us simply reduced to silence. Humbled at the level of involvement of the Lord with his people. So much investment that the Lord God is making in Abraham and with Isaac. And because of that investment, he is not going to abandon now. Think of the investment the Lord has made in sending his son to be the savior and redeemer of his people. Do you think for one moment that investment and concern and commitment is going to slacken, even in the slightest way? But there will always be the sending forth of his providences, where necessary and appropriate, either to protect, to provide, to supply for his own. There is that saying with the black chair in the mastermind program. When the bell goes at the end of the timed round, I've started, so I will finish. And that applies to the Lord as much as to the mastermind rounds. So yes, we have the providence of the Lord in a remarkable, fascinating, delightful way in the life of Isaac, Joseph, Esther, you and me, if we believe and trust in Jesus Christ. But there's one last thought, very briefly. There was also the comfort to Isaac. We're not given any details at all about the return journey. We're just simply told that, verse 61, that's where I took up reading there. Rebekah arose, damsels that rode upon the camels, followed the man and came back home to where Isaac was. Isaac was left alone. He was in the field at night time, we're told, meditating. Two things, perhaps, in form of his meditation. Yes, perhaps he was in prayer for a successful return of the servant, watching for the arrival of the servant. His interest wasn't just simply personal interest, though he was looking for his own wife. But also he was looking for one to produce children for the purposes of the Lord. Yes, there was that concern with him as he meditated in the evening time. But there is another dimension I would suggest to that time of isolation. Isaac was still mourning. We're told that at the very end of this chapter. Isaac had a need. Someone to comfort him. He wasn't just a mere cog in the unfolding purposes of God. He wasn't just a mere number or a mere item. Isaac has lost his mother. There was a special bond between the two of them because of the circumstances of his birth. It was a birth in old age. It was a birth according to promise. They would have been close together. And now he misses his mother. His father is an old man. And there's still an ache with him because of her death and her absence. Even after 3 years, it still hurts. He felt it. We know it. What does the Lord do then for Isaac? The Lord provides a comfort for him. Someone else to be close with him, to share with him, to travel along the path of life with him. The Lord stoops to fill the hole in his life. Jehovah, we're told there, the way in which Abraham begins verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, Jehovah, the Lord God in heaven, over the big events of creation and providence and salvation. But he's also the God who's involved in the individual needs of his people. The believer is not lost in the crowd, nor are the needs of the believer passed over because of bigger, more important, crucial events. We're going to sing just in a moment when we close Psalm 31. And in Psalm 31, the portion we've picked, there is that phrase, "My times are in thine hands." And the way in which my times are in thine hands, they're very close together in the Hebrew construction, emphasizing the bond with the Lord. All the details of my life, all the details of the life of the psalmist are under the control of the Lord of heaven. And so the psalmist can appeal for God's help, whatever be the circumstances behind Psalm 31. But so also we can appeal today still, as we see that truth applying to us now. My times are in thine hands. We can say The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The compassion of the Lord is a new daily experience for the believer. His faithfulness, he is faithful. It's a broad principle in his dealings with his people. The Lord is faithful in the big things, but also in the little routine things which are part and parcel of daily life. Isaac missing his mother. The Lord's faithfulness to him in his need. So he provides Rebecca for him. A whole variety of ways of the Lord working in the lives of his people, different from Abraham. For Abraham and with Sarah, it was a long time. There were many frustrating slip roads and side shoots. With Isaac, it's altogether different. There's this provision through the providence of the Lord. The comfort he gets from the Lord God of heaven. The way the Lord deals with him and the way the Lord can deal with us in our need, whatever that might be, in our circumstances, however varied they are, whatever problems we've got to face or problems we've overcome, God is the Lord God of providence, enthroned in the heavens, but the one who's also, his eye catches his people, his ear is bent to their cry, and he counts the hairs of their head. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we bless thy name for the wonder of thy care towards thy people. We see it in its greatest display on the cross of Calvary. And we know its application to us day after day. May these experiences promote and stimulate our worship, our obedience, promote a sensitivity of soul and heart and a strengthening of our faith in thee and thy commitment to thy people. O Lord, our God, how we lament the effect of the world upon us. How we lament the effect of the pressure of daily living. Enable us to take what we know of thyself and to take it out with us and apply it to strengthen or to protect as we see the appropriate need arising. Grant thy blessing on thy word and upon the heart and soul of thy people. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close, as we've said there, from Psalm 31. And we're singing at verse 14. But as for me, O Lord, my trust upon thee I did lay. And I to thee, thou art my God, did confidently say. My times are wholly in thine hand. Do thou deliver me from their hands that mine enemies and persecutors be. Thy countenance to shine do thou upon thy servant make. Upon me give salvation for thy great mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for on thee called I have. Let wicked men be shamed, let them be silent in the grave. 31, 14 through to 17. But as for me, O Lord, my trust. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit